All right, folks, as promised, we're talking more in depth of potentially the game of the week in the Mountain West, I would say. This is a very sneaky, under-the-radar game, Troy versus Boise State. And to help us out is, I'll call him our new colleague, or we sort of work together.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, Jeremy Harper here, collegefootballnews.com. I like your name as well, Sun Belt Heat. That's a strong name, very strong.
Well, you know, it came about, well, because it was almost like a joke, because it was Sun Belt Heat was supposed to be about out of conference play, and the Sun Belt and still does struggle out of conference. But
excuse me, South Alabama's 2-0 over San Diego State.
Everybody but South Alabama and the Sun Belt struggles.
Mississippi State.
And right now, if you're watching any of the football games right now, Georgia State is getting beat by Tennessee State in their new home stadium. So, yeah, so things aren't going very well for the Sun Belt. But I wanted to I came up with Sun Belt Heat with this idea that to sort of pump up what the Sun Belt could be out of conference, and I keep waiting for them to live up to that moniker, and they still haven't quite done it. But I'm hoping that, I don't know, maybe a win against Boise State will jumpstart that process.
You would think, and maybe App State can get upset this weekend. So
App State has a good chance. You know, Arkansas State plays Nebraska. I think Georgia Southern's pulling out that old triple option again, triple option against Auburn. We'll see if that works out. So there's plenty of opportunity.
Yeah, good. Well, let's see what else. Memphis, Monroe, oh, Memphis, yeah, there you go. There's one as well, because I don't know why people are super high in Memphis, but whatever.
Memphis is supposed to be pretty good. In fact, if I recall, they're supposed to be winning their division in the American, and they've had a quarterback. I think his name is Riley Ferguson. He's really the real deal. I expect them to pick apart ULM. But the only thing good for ULM right now, I think they're playing in about half an hour, is that there's like, I think they're expecting 6 inches of rain in Memphis, courtesy of Hurricane, or which is now, I guess, Tropical Depression, Harvey. Yeah. And ULM's used to that kind of rain, and Memphis isn't. So maybe that will give the conditions for ULM to pull out that victory.
We'll see what happens. So let's get to the game we're talking about, Troy-Boise State. First impression of this game, two things I want to say. The 11-point line is bogus, because that's way too many points. And as of Wednesday, I haven't checked recently because whatever, I don't want to. 10,000 tickets are still available for this game on the Boise State side, which is mind-boggling because they always complain about, oh, we play home team, we're going to beat everybody, like we mentioned previously to the show, but they're not beating everybody. It's a good opponent, and most importantly, it's not an 8:30 kickoff time. It's 1:45 local time in the afternoon, and it's 10,000 seats short, 8,000 seats short of this game, and they're going to miss a really good football game. So everybody who knows nothing about Troy, give us your impression of this team, that what should be expected on the blue turf this weekend.
Well, I'll tell you a little bit about Troy. You know, Troy was the sheriff of the Sun Belt from 2006 to 2010. They won the conference every year, or won a share of the conference every year, and they were really good. And then after 2010, they kind of fell away. You know, they sort of rested on their laurels, or they were just hit by some sort of malaise, and they sort of disappeared. And other teams sort of rose to that occasion, teams like Louisiana and Arkansas State, and they really left Troy behind. So they got rid of their head coach. They had a head coach there that's a sort of a legend there at Troy, this guy named Blakeney. And Blakeney had done some great things there, but he had sort of grown kind of old and tired. And they got rid of him a couple years ago and replaced him with this young guy, Neil Brown, who had all this energy. He was talking about rebuilding the wall, and he made some corny videos. You should look it up on YouTube. And everybody kind of smiled and said, all right, Neil Brown, he's sort of the new kid on the block. And he started the season, he had his first year, he was 4-8. And then the next season, which was last year, he turned in a 10-3 season, and everything about Troy was different. They had this great quarterback in Brandon Silvers, who was always good, but was always getting sacked. They went down from multiple sacks over the years to like 15 and 16 sacks over the year, 7 sacks last year. They got this awesome offensive line that just cannot be penetrated. If Troy has a chance against Boise State, it's going to be because of that offensive line. Troy is just one of those teams that in the Sun Belt was dormant for many years, but it's really come on strong in the last 2 years. And now they're one of the elite teams in the Sun Belt. It'll be them, Appalachian State, and Arkansas State that challenges for the Sun Belt title this year.
So on that line, Boise has a guy like David Moa who's really good. How are they going to kind of maybe slow down him, or just are they just going to play their game, and are they going to put too much attention on him, or just not worry about him unless he starts beating them at some point?
You know what? I think what they're going to try to do, I don't think they're going to try to contain. I think they're going to know that Boise State's going to score on them. Troy has a good defense. I think it was ranked 25th in the nation for total defense last year. It was probably the best defense in the Sun Belt last year. So they know how to stop running backs. They know how to stop wide receivers and good quarterbacks. They're a little bit of a bend, don't break. What I think what's going to happen, it's going to be this kind of cool matchup between Silvers and Rippon. If you look at their stats, they're kind of the same guys. You know, they both throw for about 3,000 yards. They both throw for a minimal amount of interceptions. They both threw for about 24 touchdowns last year. If you're going to watch that game, I don't think it's really a matter of watching running backs. I know that Troy, for instance, has a great running back in Jordan Chun, who ran for 1,200 yards last year. But I think it's going to be more of a battle between Rippon and Silvers.
I think so, too, because I've been seeing a lot of articles pop up about Silvers and what he can do, because people need to know what this offense and what he can do at the this level. And I expect, like, a ton of points, because Boise's defense loses a lot of talent from last year, a lot of production. Like I mentioned, David Moe is there. They have, Tyler Horton in secondary is a pretty good talent, but their defense normally is like, oh, it'll be fine, but they lost so many players from last year. One of their players went back to play professional baseball in the minor league system with the Cubs. So they've lost a lot of different players. You'd assume track record means a lot when you play this well and defensively, and even though Boise's known for their offense, I just think this might be a stiffer challenge than they're expected going into week one. Not that Boise always, you know how they play. They'll play Oregon, they'll play Georgia. Troy's not quite there, but this is an offense that could rival anybody they play all year. Like, if you look at when Boise, they play Air Force, that's unique offense. I'll put points up. Colorado State, they play Washington State. I think outside of Washington State, maybe CSU, Troy's offense isn't that much far behind. I think they can score a lot of points, even with key players on the Boise defense back, but there's so many players gone. I just wonder if it'll take an adjustment period to get going. Like, what's Troy wanting to do offensively for this season? Like, what's their game plan, I should say?
Well, I think what they want to do is, well, they have this great 1-2 punch. You know, they've got Jordan Chun, who if Silvers, like Silvers had problems against Southern Miss last year. I think he threw for about 120 yards against Southern Miss and completed only 37% of his passes. But they still won the game because they had Jordan Chun running for 106 yards. But what they really want to do is get Silvers going and connecting with his two wide receivers. They've got these two 6-foot-1 guys, Emmanuel Thompson and, who's the other one? Emmanuel Thompson and DeAndre Douglas, I'm sorry. They're the two wide receivers on the team that are, I think they came in third and fourth in yardage. And they're probably the best tandem, Sun Belt tandem for wide receivers that you're going to see in the Sun Belt. So I think what they'd rather do is sort of set up the passing game with Chun and then let their – Troy has three big offensive linemen, three guys that were named Sun Belt offensive preseason, offensive first and second teamers. What they really want is to set up that running game with Chun and then at the end of the game have Silvers at just start picking apart that secondary behind that offensive line, where he never seems to get sacked. So if you can find some way to pressure Silvers, then that ruins the whole strategy for Neil Brown. But if the offensive line for Troy can hold, and Silvers can just sit back with his 65% passing or passing percentage and just start finding his two wide receivers, you'll see that all day long.
All right, let's flip to the other side then for Boise's offense versus Troy defense. You mentioned they were a pretty good defense last year. Boise has lost the starting running back again. This is their third straight starting running back who's gone to the NFL. If you go back to Doug Martin, Jay Ajayi, now Jeremy McNichols, they're bringing in, everybody thought it'd be this redshirt sophomore, Alexander Madison. He's a little banged up, but even before that, back up to Ryan Wolpin. But that's one area people want to see. You'll hear Brett Rippon chucking the ball, like we mentioned, quarterbacks. Running game's key because they've always had a good running back. And so I'm always skeptical. I was even skeptical last time when Jeremy McNichols came over, because if you lose a guy, a running back to the NFL who's drafted, to come in and take over, it's usually not realistic right away to be that good or even better than your predecessor. So we'll see how those two guys go at it. But who's going to stop, like, Cedric Wilson, who's one of the better wide receivers in the Mountain West, who has a ton? If you look at, like, Michael Gallup from Colorado State, Devontae Boyd at UNLV, saw John Ursua did. I know it's UMass, but, geez, 200-plus yards for catching the ball. What's Troy going to do, like, in the secondary? Because that's going to be a big topic. I know I'm going over a lot of different things, but the main thing offensively is rip into Wilson. Do they have the secondary to slow down a passing attack that should be pretty potent?
They do have a couple guys. They got a guy named Cameron Milton and a guy named Chris Witherspoon, a couple defensive backs that have done very well for Troy. And they've done pretty good at containing passes in the Sun Belt. Against stiffer competition, they haven't done. They struggle a little bit. But you got to remember, this is also a team that did very well against Clemson, and limited them to I forget how many points it was. But it was the defense that really kept that team into the game. So yeah, I know what you're saying. You got Harsin, who's sort of a quarterback whisperer, who's going to be able to savage backfields in the Mountain West all day long, and probably do a lot of damage against Troy on Saturday afternoon. But you got to look out for Cameron Milton and Chris Witherspoon, who are also preseason Sun Belt players of the all-conference guys. So I don't know how they're going to stop those guys. In fact, I don't know if anybody really stops Silver and Rippon on Sunday. It might be – those guys might get 400 yards apiece. So, in fact, the running backs might end up just sitting on the sideline.
So I think we're both in agreement. It's going to be some sort of shootout in this game.
I think so. And I'd be disappointed if it wasn't. You know, if it was some sort of slogging 14-10 game at the end of the – I think that would be really disappointing. I really think it's going to be more of a 45-38 type of matchup when it's all said and done.
I think it could be the over-under set at 62.5. I think they'll blow past that. I think it'll be at least 70, I'm thinking. At least 70.
And you know what's funny about these guys too? It's you got Brian Harsin on one side, and you got Neil Brown on the other, and both these guys are young coaches that I don't know if they're looking, you know, to the future, or if they're seeing, you know, bigger places later on in their careers. But they have a lot of coaching left, and if you look at these guys, they're both just sort of offensive minded, young, energetic talents that probably would not do well for their careers, for either one of them to lose this game. You know, Brian Harsin doesn't want to lose this game to Troy, and Neil Brown, who was really close to winning that first Sun Belt title for Troy in I don't know, over a decade, he doesn't want to lose this game to Boise State. So in a lot of ways, it's kind of a battle between Rippon and Silvers, but it's also a battle between two young coaches in Brown and Harsin. And I'd really like to see which one of those guys out X's and O's the other.
No, it's true, yeah, because one thing with Boise State, like, yeah, Harsin mentioned a quarterback guru. This is their first, you know, couple years that they've actually had the same offensive coordinator back-to-back years, because they lost, to North Carolina State. They also lost defensive side Marcel Yates to Arizona a couple years ago. This is the first year in a while they've had that, so I'm wondering if that'll be a big deal for having back-to-back years. That's always the difference. You have continuity there, but I'm projecting Boise to win, but I think it's going to be, like you said, it might be like I forget what I said in our podcast the other day, but I think I mentioned like 35-30, something extremely close. But it'll be like, I guess 70 points. I should go higher, 38-31 or something like that, closer to 70 points. But it's going to be each team. I think if whoever gets a 40 is probably going to win this game.
I think that's probably a good way to look at it. The first team, the 40, probably does win this game. And either way, I don't think it's going to be a dull match. I think it really is going to be one of these back and forth things that's very entertaining to watch. Which is really something the Sun Belt needs. The Sun Belt needs to have an entertaining match. They don't need to have what's going on with Georgia State right now.
And if you look at what's going on right now, but that same time slot, I'm going through like who's playing at the moment. See if I can, if my website here works properly. Like it's a mid-afternoon game. You got, I guess, only real competition to like a competitive game. Some people think NC State, South Carolina might be okay. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
Michigan, Florida, those are two ranked teams, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Like Temple, Notre Dame, whatever. UTEP 7, I mean, taking on number 7 Oklahoma. But I think because Florida's offense is terrible, and so are they going to score any points? Like, yeah, they're, what, 10 guys now suspended?
Yeah.
And they're going to play three quarterbacks, and Michigan just released their roster, and they're very poor colored uniforms, in my opinion.
I've heard about that, yeah.
But, like, if you're going to watch a game, folks, you want points, this is probably going to be the most exciting game because, like I said, OU's going to blow out UTEP. Michigan, Florida's going to be 10-7. And Notre Dame Temple, who cares? You got Nevada Northwestern, maybe, but no, unless you want to see Matt Mummy sling with his new offense going 5 wide. But no, watch this game, folks. If this is your time slot, watch the game. Alabama, Florida State's not till late at night, so come on, you got plenty of time.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. People keep talking about Florida State and Alabama. Ooh, big deal. You know, this is sort of the Florida State-Alabama game of the group of five. It's one of the top teams in the Sun Belt versus one of the top teams in the Mountain West, and in a way, I look at them as two sheriffs of the conferences. You know, Troy is just one of those granddaddy programs of the Sun Belt. They were there from the beginning. They had their glory days. Now they're coming back with a brand new set of glory days. Maybe this is their golden age that they're reestablishing themselves as. And then you have, you know, Boise State, who's really just the kind of a granddaddy of the group of five, this sort of this program that everybody seems to want to aspire to and you know, copy off their marketing and glom off what they've been doing. So what you're really looking at is two just solid premier group of five teams that could probably flip the script on any Power Five team. When it's all said and done. So I don't know why you'd watch any of those games that you mentioned before and bypass Boise State versus Troy. That's going to be a great game.
Yeah, put this on your main TV. If you got your laptop or tablet, put that on the side. Get ESPN goal line up just to kind of see what else is going on. But this game is, like I said, it's going to be a sneaky good game. Like there's only so many times I can mention that. So what's your pick? You got to tell me, who are you taking? we bypassed that about 5 minutes ago when I gave my prediction.
I know you gave me yours. I'm predicting Troy.
That's fine.
And I'm predicting, I think Troy is going to want this game a little bit more. And I feel like, because I think it's a little bit more important for Troy. Troy is really, and for Neil Brown. I think Neil Brown has a lot of ambition. He's going to have his guys fired up. Something about, you were talking about too, that Boise State has lost a lot of talent. Troy, on the other hand, has gained most of their talent.
Recouped
it. Yes, thanks for the right words. They have all their talent coming back. They had one guy, Antonio Garcia, one of their offensive linemen, their left tackle. He got drafted into the NFL. They got a new guy coming up that seems to be just as good. His name is Kirk Kelly. You should watch him. He's 3'10", he's 6'4". He's just as good. So what Troy has done, they're not rebuilding this year. This is their year. This is the year that they're going to either make it or break it. I don't know if it's that way for Boise State, but I feel like Troy comes up with the game with the win, and I think it's going to be something like 45-38, Troy.
All right. If it's points, I'll be excited. So let me ask you this, because both teams, like Boise State, they get the benefit of the doubt just because they've been Boise State. That's why they're getting the most points in the polls and all that fun stuff, which out of the group of five, out of the Mountain West, which I don't really think that's the case. They should be, but they're there. And they have a pretty good schedule. They got Washington State. They go on the road. They go to BYU. They host a terrible Virginia team. And then you got with Troy, they have, like I said, they got Boise State. They got LSU on the schedule. What's the main goal? Because where do you, two-parter here. What's like their season expectation? And where would you put them, like, among, you said they're, like I said, the royalty group of five when they're playing Boise here, the sheriffs of their conference, I should say. Do they have any chance? I know Sun Belt doesn't get respect it deserves because there is some bottom, more, obviously, it's, well, not to be rude, but it's not the best conference top to bottom overall, even among the group of five. There's some bad teams. I don't want to be rude, but there's a reason. Oh, even if they go 13-0 or whatever, they're not going to get sniffed. Maybe, like, even the New Year's Six game. But Troy, I think they get more respect than them, and App State, and then some. Who won? Was it Arkansas State who won the conference last year?
Yeah, it's Arkansas State. There are three elite teams in the Sun Belt right now, and that's Troy and Appalachian State and Arkansas State. And then there's about three or four guys that might upturn the apple cart game, guys like South Alabama and Louisiana. Those are teams that could cause some trouble. But for the most part, it's those three teams that I mentioned. You were talking about, well, what's the end game for Troy? What does Troy want out of this season? And for every Sun Belt team, there are two, for every Sun Belt program, there are two seasons. There's the Sun Belt Conference season, and everybody wants to win the conference. And then there's the out-of-conference schedule. And the Sun Belt has been famously bad in the out-of-conference. Now, I know you've had some dealings with South Alabama, who's taken it to San Diego State, and they took it to Mississippi State last year. But they were terrible in conference, so they're kind of confusing. Nobody can understand South Alabama. But what Troy really wants, what everybody in the Sun Belt Conference says is, we want that signature win. You know, and South Alabama got that signature win against San Diego State. They were ranked number 19 at the time. And then they also beat Mississippi State. But what Troy would want to do, they want to beat Boise State, but they wouldn't really, I don't know if they'd see that as, oh, that's our signature win, that's our best win ever. They want to go to LSU and not get hurt. You know, they want to compete against LSU. LSU has problems, so they'll probably look at it as, oh, maybe this is a chance to do something against those guys. But I think what steams Troy the most is that they really had a chance to spend some time in the top 25 last year and then win the Sun Belt Conference. And they had that chance all in 1 week. They were top 25, AP top 25, the week they played Arkansas State, and Arkansas State beat them. So they lost the Sun Belt Championship that night, and they lost their top 25 ranking. And that's why I feel like Neil Brown, having tasted that, having touched the sun, having flown that close to what his goals would probably be, which is to be top 25 and to win the Sun Belt Championship and have it all end in one night, he's probably not going to allow that to happen again. So if he really wants to break back into that top 25, he's going to have to beat Boise State. And that's all there is to it. You don't beat Boise State, it just isn't going to happen.
So here's want some real good positive outlook for, I'm pretty sure he looked over Troy's schedule. So LSU, they play Syracuse, who's not any good at home. Then they get Troy. Then they get that big old, is Florida still their rival? They go to Florida the week after Troy? Just saying.
Who's that? Who?
LSU. They played Florida on the road the week after. Troy.
Yeah, you know, there is a... Well, all right. But what's funny, too, is Boise State now playing Washington State after this
next
game?
Week, they go on the road. Yep.
Yeah, and didn't Boise State beat Washington State last year?
They did, yes.
Yeah, so aren't they kind of... Wouldn't they be looking ahead?
They shouldn't be, because I think Troy's a really good football team. I'd hope not, but...
Are they more scared of Washington State or Troy?
Dude, Luke Falk, I'd be afraid of him too, throwing the ball that much. The difference isn't huge if you know these two teams, but what Mike Leach does and how they could throw the ball at him 675 times, I think most people say they'd be afraid of Washington State's offense a little bit more than Troy's, but Washington State, anybody, it's like playing, yeah, New Mexico. Oh, who's New Mexico? Who cares? They run a unique run, triple option offensive attack. Any team should be at least somewhat nervous playing them. That's all it is for Washington State, but they're also really good at doing it too. So
what do you think Mountain West, when they see Troy coming into town, are they really like, did they really not? I mean, this is the first time Boise State and Troy has met, right?
I believe so.
It's a complete unknown.
Yeah, familiarity wise, but if you follow, depends how closely you follow college football, of course. If you follow it fairly closely, people have heard of Troy. It's not like Troy's some no-name random team. They've also been pretty good. Who cares what conference they play in? They've been winning titles, and they've winning double-digit games or seasons, 10 wins last year, and they've been good. And so they should be – familiarity should be there on some level. But the average fan, there's a reason. Like I said, there's 10,000 empty seats for this game already. People, oh, it's a Sun Belt team. Who cares? But there's a million reasons. Even if it's not Troy, they should fill out the stadium. Home opener. It's an afternoon game, which, geez, come on. That never happens with the contract you play on the West Coast.
Yeah, no kidding.
So I think some fans might be looking past this, but once you actually know what they're talking about and follow more than just their team, they know this is going to be a good game.
Well, you know, the one thing that maybe, I don't know if the fans know, but this is not the first time Brian Harsin has faced Troy.
Arkansas State, buddy.
That's right. Yeah. Actually, Brian Harsin defeated Troy in 2013, 41-34. I was there for that game.
Humble brag.
And I was humble brag a little bit about that. So, Brian Harsin kind of knows what's going on with Troy. Now, that was when Blakeney was the head coach there at Troy, and it was a kind of a different program, sort of a program on the outs. Neil Brown's Troy is a lot different than Blakeney's Troy was at that time. So it wouldn't be the first time Harsin has seen these guys.
All right, let me ask you this really quick as we wrap this up. You mentioned if they beat Boise, it may not be that signature win. And not to put you on the spot, but I'm going to. What's Troy's best win ever then?
Oh, God, you know, back in the early, like, the 1999? God, hang on a second. They defeated somebody like a Mississippi State. And then they beat somebody else, too. I don't... You're putting me on
the spot. I'm sorry. I was going to bring that because, like, oh, well, they... Because being at Boise State and beating them for... Some schools could be like considered their best one ever. Even Boise's not ranked, but what is it? 2009, where they went 9-4 that year.
They had this great win under their legendary coach Blakeney, and they still talk about it. And I can't remember. God, for the like of me, I cannot remember.
Was it the New Orleans Bowl? Perhaps they won a couple of those.
Well, they did win a couple of those, but no, it was one of these out-of-conference games that they weren't supposed to win, and then they ended up winning it, and I feel horrible because I don't remember what it was.
No, it's okay. I'm just curious because I didn't know.
I'll tweet that. And when I say it wouldn't be a signature win, listen, beating Boise State would be a great win for Trojans. It would be a great win for the Sun Belt. But at the same time, it is a peer-to-peer conference win. And when we talk about peer conference or when we talk about signature wins in the Sun Belt, because we play so many Power Five money games, those are the games that we want to win the most. Not only to take a bunch of money from somebody, but then to also listen to their fans beg and cry. So like beating San Diego State versus South Alabama was great, even though they beat them the year before, too. But defeating Mississippi State might have been, for them, a bigger win than beating State.
I think I found the two games it could be. Sports Reference is a lovely website once I figured it out. So it's either, I'm going to find the year, but they have beaten Missouri and also Mississippi State one time apiece.
I remember the Mississippi State one. I don't remember Missouri, but that's a pretty good game.
Yeah, Mississippi
too.
State was October 13th, 2001, 21-9. And then the other one, I got to hit the stupid survey answers here. Hold on a moment. They beat.
Oh, you can do it.
Let's see. 2004, September 9th, 04, when Missouri was in the Big 12, 24-14. So those are probably their two best wins ever, I'm assuming.
Those would be signature wins, and that would be more than what was it, 13, 12 years ago? So they're really looking for that big win. Exactly. So, all right, you know what? I stand corrected. Boise State would be a signature win, and they would be happy to come out of Boise with that win.
All right, so we'll see what happens. It's going to be a great matchup. Check it out on Saturday afternoon. It's on, what, ESPNU? Let's see, 1:45 local time. That's 2:45 Central, 12:45 Pacific. You figure out the rest, folks. But check out your stuff. So check out Jeremy Harper's stuff. Go to it's Sunbelt Heat, but collegefootballnews.com. His stuff will show up on the front page. And if you haven't noticed yet, our stuff's there too as well. There's a new wrinkle to the website. Have you noticed if you click on the Fearless Predictions, all the other teams' websites and league websites appear now?
That is an amazing feature.
So check.
Everybody should log up right now and check that.
Yes,
out.
Go to our website, mwcwire.com. Go to Sunbelt Heat. We got some Georgia folks. We got West Virginia. Pete Futek does. I don't know how he writes all the articles he does, but he writes a million articles a day.
I don't know how he gets that energy.
Check, and it's every team. So check out if you want anything. He has a preview up on Troy, I'm assuming, right now. Boise State, Mountain West games. Everything's up there. More Sunbelt stuff. So, yeah, just check it out. And also check yourself out on Twitter. Or not yourself, but you, Jeremy. Sounded weird. Go to A State Fan Rules to follow all the Arkansas State. And you don't call it the Fun Belt anymore. It's just Sunbelt Heat, right? That's the best way to refer to you as the Sunbelt expert.
The Sun Belt refers to itself as Fun Belt. I call it Sun Belt Heat. So you can do
Sun Belt Heat's better, I think.
I think so, too.
It's pretty good. So, yeah, thanks for hopping on, and good luck this weekend, and we'll see what happens, man.
I'll ping you on Twitter in case Troy wins, okay?
Right back at you.
Bye.